Okay, so good morning, everybody. This is Jonathan Park from SUNY Downstate Neurology Department, and I have the extreme pleasure of interviewing today one of our most prominent faculty, Dr. Steve Levine, who is also the vice chair of the department. He's also the chief of service here at University Hospital in Brooklyn and associate dean of clinical research and faculty development, as well as principal investigator on numerous trials and networks that we're going to talk about. So good morning.
Good morning, Jonathan. Thanks for asking me to come to your podcast.
My pleasure. So I think what we want to do today is to talk about exciting developments and ongoing research and trials that are ongoing here at Downstate.
Excellent. Yeah, it's an exciting time for clinical trials. It's an exciting time specifically in stroke as well, with the advent of the biggest breakthrough in 20 years since intravenous tPA with intra-arterial tPA. And there are a lot of new promising approaches to both stroke and other neurologic emergencies that are underway here, as well as are being part of several multi-center consortiums throughout the country, so that we are testing state-of-the-art treatments here at SUNY Downstate to the same degree and involvement as many of the other major academic medical centers in the country, as part of big science now, collaborative networks that really can answer important questions that require a lot of patients recruited, hopefully over a shorter period of time, to answer important treatment questions in randomized clinical trials. So just to give an overview, we have neurologic emergency trials through the NET, which is an NIH-funded treatment trial network. And we are involved with several trials now. SHINE is one of them. This is an acute trial of stroke that associated with diabetes and hyperglycemia, where we are testing whether or not the hypothesis that acute lowering and aggressive management of blood sugar may provide a better outcome from ischemic stroke than regular sort of sliding scale insulin approach, given some of the positive results in the critical care literature and ICUs across the country, seeing if it helps in reducing ischemic edema and poor outcome that is known to occur in diabetics who have stroke compared to non-diabetics. And we've been fortunate to enroll a good number of patients here and at the county, and our network also includes Lincoln Hospital and Maimonides. That's a 12-hour window, and is part of the stroke hotline that we have residents and fellows and even some of the faculty call the 347-220-8585 number when they suspect that a patient might be eligible for SHINE or other protocols. Other protocols include trying to find the first proven treatment for intracerebral hemorrhage. It's a deadly form of stroke. There's been no proven treatment. All the surgical trials have not shown positive results. And so one of the most promising avenues is actually very aggressive lowering of blood pressure, as most intracerebral hemorrhages are associated in chronic hypertensives whose blood pressures are typically quite high. There is some evidence, both experimentally and from phase one and phase two clinical trials, that aggressive lowering of blood pressures, even beyond what is currently recommended by the American Heart Association guidelines, may be beneficial. So we are testing in a randomized fashion nicardipine, which is a calcium channel blocker given intravenously to patients with supratentorial intracerebral hemorrhages within 4.5 hours, to see if lowering their blood pressures to a range in the 120s is going to help their outcome better than the current guidelines of 140s to 160s by the American Heart Association. And this is called ATAC2. ATACH2. Some people call it ATACH2. ATAC2 sounds better for attacking the hemorrhage. As I said, it's a 4.5 hour window. So if the CT shows blood for a potentially tPA eligible patient in the same treatment window, call the hotline and we will hopefully evaluate them for that. Another important area is the advent of trying to find if there's a treatment opportunity for combined antiplatelet therapy for TIAs who are high risk and minor stroke, high risk being defined as the TI stratification score ABCD2 of 4 or greater within 12 hours or minor stroke with stroke scales of 3 or less to find if there's an opportunity to get these people a better stroke prevention rate with combining Plavix and aspirin to aspirin alone. As many of you know, many of the cardiovascular trials like MATCH and CHARISMA and even some of the stroke trials like SPS3 that have looked at trying to combine aspirin and Plavix together versus aspirin have not proven to be of significant benefit. And we're testing it in high-risk patients treated very early with aggressive risk factor management to see, and this is an NIH-funded study called POINT. Also, you can activate it through that same hotline number within 12 hours. Another new interesting antiplatelet agent that's on the market for cardiac disease, Brilinta, ticagrelor, is being tested now here in a trial called Socrates, which is an international trial. And it's basically the POINT trial for TIA and minor stroke up to 24 hours, and it's just aspirin versus ticagrelor alone. It's not a combination therapy trial. And that trial is undergoing recruitment here and, as I mentioned, internationally for patients as well. Part of the NET is also involved with non-stroke studies. So previously we were involved in PROTECT, which was progesterone for a moderate head injury, which was unfortunately a negative study despite all the very promising animal work. And now we're getting started with a study called ESET, which is a status epilepticus trial, one of three treatments for status epilepticus, randomized, double-blind, Dilantin or fosphenytoin versus Keppra versus valproic acid for benzo-resistant status in the ED, seeing how fast each of those drugs could break status and looking at outcome. And that's a waiver of consent, which is an interesting form of clinical trial work where you don't have to get consent because obviously it's an emergency. You're giving all three or FDA-approved drugs. And it's very hard to get consent from a patient in status epilepticus, and you may not have the time to get family. And the NIH and the FDA have agreed to waive consent for this disease for waiver of for this trial, which will be starting both at Kings County initially and then at downstate probably in the next several months. We've just completed an NIH-funded trial called ARTS-2, which is argatroban, which is a drug that will hopefully do better with TPA to keep the artery open as it works as a direct thrombin inhibitor at the site of recanalization. It has very promising results in a phase 2 trial that we participated in here. We were the third largest recruiter in the trial nationally. And those results will be presented in February at the stroke conference, and they look very promising to the effect that it may be going into phase 3 trials if NIH decides to fund it, and comparing it in a 3-arm trial with TPA alone, TPA with the argatroban, or TPA with efetibimide, a 2B3A platelet antagonist that was found to be very promising in improving outcomes with TPA from the University of Cincinnati trial. So there's a lot of exciting trials, a lot of new medications and approaches to stroke and even to other neurologic emergencies that I think are worthy of resident both involvement and excitement for finding better treatments for their patients and also providing, I think, very good standard of cares that we're doing across the country with other centers and approaching stroke with the idea that we can do incremental benefit on already established treatments.
So this is really, truly fantastic and exciting, but I have to say my head is spinning from all the those various options. So let's say I'm a resident in the emergency room and sure. I see a patient and I'm not sure is it a patient that is appropriate for a trial or not. So how do I make sure I'm not missing patients?
That's a great question, Jonathan. So we recommend that the residents, often the ER will call, but if they don't, the neurology resident should consider calling 347-220-8585, which is the hotline, and talk to somebody on call to help with sorting that out. And hopefully we will be unveiling in the next couple of weeks an app for both web-based as well as smartphone-based that will let you plug in some very basic information about the patient, their age, their stroke scale score, their time window, the kind of stroke, and other things, whether they're diabetic, what their blood sugar is. And it will actually spit out all of the potential trials that are ongoing here at the Downstate Medical Center to help you figure out what they might be eligible for. And certainly, if residents have any questions, they can certainly call the stroke fellow or the stroke attending on the stroke service. Or if those all fail for whatever reason, they can certainly feel free to call me if I'm available. Here, and Dr. Law is always available, as she's let me know at the county for screening and triaging acute stroke patients across the street at the county. But yes, it's a lot. We try to educate the residents during the July symposium. I tend to talk about these trials a lot while I'm on service, and I've been very pleased to see a lot of resident involvement, a lot of resident interest, and so I think hopefully that will continue. Also on the stroke prevention side, we are involved with StrokeNet, which is a NIH-funded network of consortiums of multi-center regional networks. We are working together with Columbia and Cornell, as well as some of the institutions that we brought to the StrokeNet for them, including the University of Buffalo and Rochester and Upstate. And those networks are involved in both phase one, phase two, and phase three trials for both acute stroke prevention and recovery. And so people who have ideas about approaching any of those three areas are able to work with NIH and the coordinating centers to develop new ideas and new grants at even a very preliminary phase one level to put through these networks. And so we are working with the networks to come up with some new ideas for prevention. One of the prevention studies that's going through the network, although we're doing a pharmacy-sponsored one, is this new entity that has gotten a lot of interest called ESUS, Embolic Stroke of Unknown Source. And there's a lot of interest with the target-specific anticoagulants that have taken over in some part from warfarin for select patients with AFib, to suggest that maybe some of these embolic strokes are undetected AFib. And so maybe treating these people with these agents such as rivaroxaban or Pradaxa or apixaban, cabigatran, indagaban, all of those drugs may actually be better than aspirin if it turns out that they're due to cardiac embolus. And so we're randomizing in a trial that is sponsored by Bayer, that's going to be looking at one of these target-specific anticoagulants versus aspirin. And then StrokeNet will be doing another one that will be looking at biomarker-specific trials for people with very high beta-natriuretic peptide markers in their heart and randomizing them as potential high risk for embolic stroke. So there's a lot going on both on the prevention side, on the acute side. Residents are encouraged to always call or ask. There's information on the websites for these trials. There's information on the emergency medicine website as well that for clinical trials that you can go and get the protocols, the consent forms off, and read a little bit more about that as you're interested in that. And I'm always available. I have an open door policy. Residents come and go all the time to run cases by me or discuss potential eligibility, and I'm more than happy to work with them and help clarify some of the multiple choices that may be apparent for a given patient or in a given situation.
This is really fantastic and exciting. So I'm wondering if you'd be able to give us some concluding remarks and maybe repeat again the number for the hotline in case someone missed it earlier.
Sure. So the stroke hotline that should be manned 24/7, if not by one of the investigators, certainly by one of the stroke coordinators, is 347-220-8585. And I would recommend you plug it into your smartphone so that you can just push a button and activate the call like you do for all your friends and family and or attendings as you work with us. And hopefully someone will answer. And always as a backup, if that doesn't work, feel free to call me. My cell phone is 516-316-2924, and we can work out what any of the acute issues might be.
This is fantastic. Thank you very much again, Dr. Levine, and hoping that we'll increase our recruitment now after this.
I hope so. That would be a nice side benefit from this opportunity to chat with you this morning, and I appreciate the opportunity to share what we're doing, which I hope will contribute to a better management and treatments for neurologic disease.
Thank you very much.
My pleasure.